Welcome to Straight Talk for Real Life, produced by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Living a long, happy, and healthy life without most of the chronic health issues that so many older people deal with sounds perfect, doesn't it? So what's the secret? Today we'll dive deep into the science behind longevity, and we'll hear lessons learned directly from people in their 90s and 100s who live in places called the Blue Zones. Small pockets around the globe where people are actually living the longest, healthiest, and most fulfilled lives.
They looked at these communities where people are living to be 100 and they say, what are all the things that they're doing? And maybe we can reverse engineer that or replicate those things. All of these things together makes for a healthy, long life. When you put people in the right environment, regardless of their genes, they tend to be healthier and live longer.
What are the secrets to living a long, healthy, and happy life? Listen in and learn life-changing lessons from the Blue Zones. The purpose of this podcast is to foster discussion, not to provide advice. The information shared should never be used as an alternative to obtaining personalized advice from a healthcare professional. And listeners should seek such advice independently if they have any questions related to their physical or mental health. This podcast hosts different viewpoints, and the opinions of the speakers do not necessarily reflect the views of HPE. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk for Real Life. I'm Bob Peacock. Human beings have been searching for the secrets of living a longer and happier life for as long as human life has existed. The good news is that in many countries, people are living longer than they were 10 years ago. Life expectancy throughout the world differs a bit, mostly based on each country's socioeconomic development, healthcare availability, and demographics. But once a person reaches 65 years of age, life expectancy is generally about 84 years, at least here in the United States. It's about a year longer than that if you're in Australia, Canada, or the United Kingdom, and it's about 86 years in Japan. It's also probably no surprise that women on average are expected to live about 5 years longer than men. So the question becomes, how and why do some people far exceed those life expectancy projections? Answering those questions has been the quest of an organization called the Blue Zones for more than two decades. The term Blue Zones was coined when a man named Dan Buettner began investigating places around the world where people regularly live to be 100 years old and older. His first quest to learn the secrets of longevity started when he learned that the Japanese island of Okinawa had the oldest people in the world. So in 1999, he set out to find out why. With support of National Geographic and the National Institute on Aging, Dan Buettner explored Japan and then other regions, traveling with a team of experts to find out where and why people live the longest, happiest lives. And he started a company called Blue Zones that took a close look at those areas to find out what those people were doing right. Now the company is helping create healthier and happier environments in companies, communities, cities, and even states so people can live longer and to help lower healthcare costs as well. My guest today is a medical doctor and the president and chief health and well-being officer of the Blue Zones Well-Being Institute, Dr. Dexter Cherney. Dr. Cherney, welcome.
Well, hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Could you start by giving us just some background? The founder of Blue Zones, Dan Buettner, was an explorer and a journalist. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So, and he teamed up with the National Institute of Aging, as well as National Geographic, they published, you know, the magazine. And to your point, they started out to look for, you know, a fountain of youth, so to speak. And then they came across these five places in the world where people tend to live these long, healthy lives. And so they sort of tweaked the research a little bit to sort of focus on those elements and hence Blue Zones.
And he also has become an author. Mr. Buettner wrote a best-selling book about his findings titled The Blue Zone, Secrets for Living Longer, followed by, I believe, seven more books about ways to live longer, how to cook better, And his TED Talk on how to live to be 100 plus has had nearly 5 million views. Today, Blue Zones even has a popular docuseries on Netflix that was nominated for 6 Emmys. So a lot of people are extremely interested in living a longer, healthier life. And some people would say that it just all comes down to having good genes. It's all a matter of the luck of the genetic draw. Is there any truth to that?
Well, genes do certainly play a role, but what they say in lifestyle medicine is that the genes load the gun, but lifestyle actually pulls the trigger. And if you look at the twin studies that have been done for the last few decades, we know that if you take monozygotic, which are identical twins genetically, and separate them early on in life, that over the course of their lifetime, the expression of those genes can differ quite remarkably. Some will get certain cancers while the other doesn't, the other twin doesn't. Some will be obese while the other twin is not. And the only difference, because again, the same genes, is the environment that they find themselves in. The foods that they eat, the access to being outdoors and nature, and the habits that they take up based on the families that they're in. And so based on that, the whole concept is something called epigenetics. And epigenetics just means that genetic expression has a lot to do with the environment you place those genes in. So yes, the genes play a role, but the environment we're finding out can even play a bigger role oftentimes, particularly when it comes to lifestyle things. We're not talking about hair color or eye color, but when it comes to things that lead to chronic disease and illness, the genes play a big role based on the environment.
Okay. So I've read that only about 1 out of 5,000 people, at least in America, live to be 100 years old. Why don't most of us live longer? Do we have the capacity to live well into, say, our early 90s without chronic diseases?
Absolutely. And that's what we're finding with the Blue Zones, is that we do have that capacity. And these individuals in these Blue Zones are living 10 times as often into their hundreds. And the interesting thing is that they're not on medications. They're not, you know, ill or sick. They're actually quite vibrant and enjoying life right up until the end. And so that's what we all want. And that's the work that the Blue Zones organization now is replicating in other communities around the world.
So before we get into the details of how people are living longer, and I want to spend time talking about the Power Nine, as your organization calls it, because those are the things that each of us can do that can have an impact on our own longevity. But before we do that, can you tell us about the Blue Zones that your company has identified? And I believe there are 6 of them now. Is that right?
There are 6. Originally, there were 5. Sardinia, which is in Italy, Ikaria in Greece, the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, Okinawa in Japan, and then, of course, there's Loma Linda right here in the good U.S. of A. Those were the 5 original Blue Zones. And now, of course, Singapore has been identified as the 6th Blue Zone.
So has your organization ever named a single healthiest and happiest place on earth to live?
That's a great question, Bob. I don't think we have. Now, we do a lot of work. We partner with Gallup, and Gallup runs an annual happiness survey.
Yeah.
And based on those data, you will find that people that live in some of the Nordic countries like Finland and Switzerland tend to be year over year consistently some of the happiest people on the planet. But that's specific to happiness, and we probably don't do it because Gallup does such a great job of identifying those locations. Yeah.
I've heard Dan Buettner talk about kind of the lack of incentives in the healthcare industry to actually help us stay healthy and live a long life. It's a scary thought, but doctors, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, they don't make a lot of money if we're all healthy. And he's said that the real heroes, the rock stars, aren't the doctors who are fixing people, but they're the ones who are focused on preventive care and helping us live healthy in the first place.
I couldn't agree more. He's spot on. I'm a physician, as you know. And physicians, hospitals, providers, using that word broadly, we tend to make a living fixing things once they're broken. We call it health care, but it's really sick care. Mm. But if you think about a hospital, it's kind of like a hotel. And unless your beds are full, you're not going to make any money. So I hate to say it. It sounds a bit crass, but it's the truth. Pharmaceutical companies, if they don't sell drugs, then they don't make any money. And you don't sell drugs to people that are healthy, you know? So our whole healthcare quote-unquote system is built on sick care and people being sick, and that's how they generate greater revenues. I think that, however, that's a policy decision. And I think that Blue Zones and others are trying to change policy so that healthcare providers and clinicians could actually be rewarded financially by keeping people healthier. That's not the current case. It's a lot of lip service given to that, but that's not really how people earn a living. But I think we could change that if we really set our mind to it, and that would be such a greater benefit to society overall. We could have some of those policies change.
Yeah, and I understand that your company is really involved in changing environments of companies, of communities, so that people are learning and doing things that are contributing to their better health. And you've had tremendous success in lowering medical costs and raising productivity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it goes back to what I said previously about epigenetics. And when you put people in the right environment, regardless of their genes, they tend to be healthier and live longer. So that's the whole idea. And we've done this now over 2 decades, as you mentioned. And we're in over 90 communities, 17 states. It's pretty phenomenal. We've impacted about 6 million lives. And we've seen substantial changes in those communities when you look at things such as obesity, but also when you look at healthcare costs. And on average, we're saving about a 10% reduction per capita in healthcare costs. So it is working, and it's working across all of these environments. And the other thing I'll add is that there's even evidence that we're making an impact on health equity in some of these communities.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, health equity is the idea that certain groups of our population, subgroups of our population, tend not to be as healthy, tend not to do as well as others. Minorities, for example, we know that the rates of some chronic conditions are twice as prevalent in African Americans than they are in the white majority. And we know that when we look at things such as self-reported assessments, looking at physical and mental health on a validated survey tool called the SF-12, we know that Blacks underperform significantly compared to white majorities, except when we look at those data in the Loma Linda cohort, for example, of Blue Zones, where the Loma Linda Blacks actually outperform both on physical and mental well-being and satisfaction more than whites. And so that's really something that we're looking into more, because this whole idea of health equity, we're really pursuing it as a society. But we're finding that as you start to change some of these blue zone environments, that you can actually close the gaps, and that no one else has really been able to do that. We've already always looked at it from an economic, education, access kind of perspective, but there's more to that story than meets the eye.
So in these blue zones around the world, people were living in their 90s and 100s, not because longevity was the goal. That wasn't something that was pursued, but longevity was a result of how they were living their lives. And as you mentioned, the residents live in very different parts of the world. Some are on small islands. Some are in remote mountain villages, others in busy metropolitan areas. So there's obviously differences in how those people lived. But there were also some commonalities that you discovered, things that we can all do if we want to live longer, healthier, and happier lives. And I want to spend some time talking about what you call the Power Nine, which are these commonalities, these common denominators that your team found across the blue zones. And the first one is move naturally. We're told we need to get active, lift weights, join gyms, health clubs, run marathons. But your evidence shows that the world's longest lived people don't do these things. Is that right?
That's right. They're not waking up every morning saying, look, I need to get in 150 minutes this week. They're not figuring out, you know, which gym membership should I use or how much time I should spend doing yoga. What happens and what we have found is that they're just moving naturally. And so, you know, we didn't use the term physical fitness or exercise. It's really move naturally. And what you find in these communities, those that we've been talking about, the commonality is that they all have found ways to move naturally. And sometimes it's out of necessity. So if you look at folks in Greece, you know, there's a need to walk their sheep, right?
Yeah.
So they're out there and sometimes a sheep gets on a ledge and you got to climb the mountain to get the sheep and that kind of thing. So they're moving naturally. They're taking care of business as part of their day that just requires that they have more movement. And so it's not the sporadic exercise that we tend to have because we're going to gyms and then sit the rest of the day. And in fact, there's research that shows that doing that kind of negates the exercise that you've done earlier in the day if you sit the rest of the day. So these folks are getting up, you know, frequently, and they're doing little bursts of movement and exercise just in a natural way. And that tends to be contribute to their longevity.
I've heard Dan Buettner talk about this, and he was saying that high-impact exercise can do as much harm as good. Instead of pounding your joints with marathons and pumping iron, we really should be sticking to activities like biking, yoga, and walking. It's really healthier and better for us.
Absolutely. And also more enjoyable. I mean, I wouldn't say that there's probably some people that really enjoy doing marathons, but for most of it, it's kind of grueling.
Okay, the second of the Power Nine is purpose. That's that reason for waking up in the morning. How important is having a sense of purpose?
It's probably, well, I don't want to try to prioritize any of the Power Nine because they're all important and they all work in a synergistic manner. But just think about it, Bob. If you don't have purpose, then what matters, mm-hmm. right? And so I think all of us have to have a sense of purpose of why we're here, why we wake up in the morning. There is a tie or a link between the moving naturally and purpose, because a lot of these folks that are moving naturally, it's because they need to herd their herds or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So, you can see how these things can kind of come together, but we all need to have a reason for being.
So it's about exploring your interests, pursuing your passions, setting goals, doing the things that makes you happy, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, we all heard the stories of a cancer victim that, you know, the doctor says you only have a few more months to live, go get your life in order, and they live for years because they're waiting for their kid to graduate or get married, or they wanted to see their grandchild. And they almost will themselves based on that purpose. That's my purpose. I want to see my grandchild do this or that. And they live for many, many years, right? So we know that this has a mind over body is a big deal, and purpose is a big piece of that.
The third commonality in the Power Nine is one that you call downshift. And I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people listening because I know that we've got a lot of really driven people who are listeners of this podcast. And it's about making time to reduce the busyness and stress in our lives. Do people who live in the blue zones actually experience stress?
They do. I mean, stress is a part of living and stress is good. I mean, but there's an optimal amount. There's a sweet spot and too much stress particularly chronic stress, is not good for the body. It wears the body down. And, you know, chronic stress causes inflammation, and then the inflammation is the nidus for disease, whether it's in your heart or your brain or your joints. And so we really need to manage our stress. But everyone has, I mean, it's a fact of life that we all have some stress. But what we try to do is we try to manage it the right way, and we try to, as much as possible, eliminate bad stress in our lives. And we see different ways that people do that. Sometimes it's just, you know, socializing with friends. We know for the Adventist in Loma Linda, it's because they rest every Saturday or Sabbath. So they take that day off, and they don't really involve themselves in any secular activities. It's their downtime, and that's how they downshift. But every community does it a little differently, but it was a commonality that we saw across the globe.
Okay, the next commonality in the Power 9 is what you call the 80% rule. Use smaller plates and you actually eat less, right? Talk about the 80% rule.
No, the 80% rule, it really comes out of Okinawa. And but it's also seen in other areas too. In Okinawa, they have a really catchy phrase called Hari Hachi Bu, which means that you only should eat until you feel like you're 80% full. And it takes a little bit of time for your brain to catch up with your stomach to know that you're full. And if you sort of target to say, hey, I think I'm about 80% full, instead of eating until you're 100%, we know that in a few minutes, you'll probably feel like you're 100% full. And that was a good thing. And it prevents us from overeating. So, you know, the idea here is that we probably shouldn't be gluttons.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't really overburden our digestive system by overeating. You know, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Yeah, right. Okay, and kind of on that, the next Power 9 has to do with diet. It's what you call plant slant.
Yeah.
What did your team discover was the best diet?
Yeah, we found most of these communities, not most, all of these communities, what they had in common is that meat was not the predominant item on the plate. They had a plant slant diet. And from a nutritional standpoint, it makes sense, right? If you were to do a study of where you get all of your antioxidants, your vitamins and minerals and things like that, they predominantly come from plants, you know? Where's your vitamin C found? Where is your antioxidants that are going to help you repair your DNA when it's mutated to stave off cancer? It's not really found in the meats, you know? And there are good sources of animal protein and things like that. So most of these communities, while they did eat some fish, and none of them were 100% vegetarian, but they were about 90% that way. And so they were getting their nutrients and things from the plants, and using the meats more as a side versus what we do more often in this country is, you know, the meat's the main thing and the vegetables are the side. So just kind of flip that concept a little bit.
Yeah. I've also read that Dan Buettner recommends drinking coffee. I'd love to know your thoughts on that as a doctor, because he says it's one of the biggest sources of antioxidants in the American diet.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that there are a lot of sources of antioxidants. So we don't have to, I'm not a big believer in any one superfood.
Yeah.
So coffee is great for some people if they want to use that as a source of antioxidants. It was not the only, dark chocolate, for example, has a lot of antioxidants too, but it often comes with sugar because you can't eat pure chocolate. It's pretty bitter. So, you know, even though chocolate is a really great source of antioxidants, then it's counteracted with the sugar. The other thing about the coffee is that it has its most benefit when you drink it black. But a lot of people, again, add sugar to their coffee, or they add cream to it, and that negates some of its antioxidant power as well. So it's all in perspective. And again, there are other ways to get your antioxidants from without, you know, necessarily drinking coffee or dark chocolate. There are a lot of different ways to do it. But yeah, for those that like coffee, don't have any issues with their blood pressure and things like that that may be reasons for not to take that caffeine, then there are other choices.
Another thing that he said, which I loved, is it's not just about what you eat, but how you eat and how much you and your friends enjoy a meal together. He said the secret sauce is the right mix of friends. The other thing that I was curious to see is if alcohol would make the list, and it did. In the Power 9 is what you call wine at 5. What did your team discover about drinking alcohol?
You know, Bob, these were observational studies that Dan did. And they looked at these communities where people are living to be 100, and they say, what are all the things that they're doing? And maybe we can reverse engineer that or replicate those things. And as I said earlier, it's the synergy that is among all of these things, not one single thing that they were doing. Because you'll find pockets where people are exercising really well, but their diet is not that great and that kind of thing. So it's all of these things together makes for a healthy person, long life. And so alcohol is one of those interesting things. So 20 years ago when they did the original research, there wasn't a lot being said about alcohol and its links to chronic disease, as there's that knowledge now. And so the way that we look at it is that, yes, it was true that some of these communities, not all of them, for example, Loma Linda, where alcohol was not considered to be the wine at 5, was not done there. But in these others, you know, they would take some wine and that kind of thing. And so the observational data was that this must be a good thing. This must lead to longevity. But what we're finding out now is it probably has less to do with the wine and more to do with people just kind of getting together, to your point, and downshifting. And so that was happening in the Loma Linda community, even though they weren't downshifting around wine at 5. Mm. So our thought is, we parallel now the latest research that really recommends that if you're not drinking, don't start. If you are drinking, then please do it in moderation. And what we're more inclined to think now is that these folks were living long despite the fact that they were drinking wine.
Okay, good. Next commonality in the Power 9 is about belonging to a faith-based community. It's what you call belong. And I want to be upfront and mention that Blue Zones is owned by Adventist Health, which is a faith-based healthcare system. So what did your organization discover about belonging to a community?
It's as important as purpose. And I know that you've done a podcast on loneliness, and so your listeners probably have an idea of how powerful a risk factor loneliness can be. And so this plays right into finding your tribe, feeling like you belong to a group of individuals and you have common goals and objectives and thoughts about life. We all feel like we want to be a part of something. And so that was something that was very important. We called it a moai that, in Okinawa. And these are just healthy support circles that we all need. And not only feeling like you belong, but also supporting each other in your journey towards health and happiness. You know, if you're having a bad day, someone in your support circle can kind of cheer you up or say, let's go for a walk together. That's really important.
Okay, the eighth secret in the Power 9 is called loved ones first. So the family bond is really, really important, right?
It is. You know, we tend to dispose of our elderly in this country. You get to be a certain age and all of a sudden you don't have any more sense. In these communities, age was actually celebrated. Older people were revered because of their wisdom, their knowledge, their success and victory over surviving over such a long period of time.
Yeah,
and they were included in helping families and communities make decisions. You know, we see this in a lot of different ways. Not that we study Native Americans, but it has been a culture of the Native Americans to you know, respect their elderly. And we know certainly in the Asian communities this is done, such as in Okinawa here in the Blue Zones. But we tend to throw away our elderly. And what we find in these communities is that they're really brought in, they're nurtured, they're part of the family unit. They're not living alone. They're not living in nursing homes. They're part of the day to day with their families.
That's great. And I think this also includes committing to a life partner, right?
That's exactly right. And there's a lot of research that shows that married couples tend to live longer than those that are not. It's interesting research in that this isn't Blue Zones research, but I'm just recalling some of the research that shows that men in particularly benefit from that.
Well, the commonality that the Blue Zones describes as right tribe, and we've kind of talked about this. It's about that social network. Is that right?
It really is. Right tribe, belonging. Again, there's a lot of overlap between some of these Power Nine, as you can see.
Yes.
Yeah.
I suppose one's current age would impact your answer to my next question, but if we start adopting these nine behaviors, the Power Nine, and we start adapting to these lifestyles, is there any real evidence that it could actually add years to our life expectancy?
Absolutely. It's an interesting concept that you bring about. It sort of depends on when we start, and that's true, but I would encourage people, if you can start regardless of your current age, you're going to benefit. Bob, we often measure something called A1C among type 2 diabetics to kind of see how they're doing. And the reason we do it on a 3-month basis is because it takes 3 months for us to get a whole new set of red blood cells. And what you're really measuring is the sugar attached to the red blood cell. And in 3 months, we can kind of tell what happened in the past 3 months, right? But we do it, no often than 3 months, because it takes about that amount of time for your cells to replace themselves. And I use that example because the cells in the body, the entire body, are replacing themselves. And if you give those cells a different environment, in the case of A1C, you've given your red blood cells a different environment, so there's not as much sugar in your blood attaching to them, so therefore you see the change. But if you give your other cells in the body different changes to your environment, your lifestyle, your stress, and those kinds of things, they too will replicate a healthier form of themselves, if that makes sense. So I would encourage anybody at any age to start these changes, because our bodies are always reproducing and replicating ourselves. And therefore we every so many months, we basically have all new cells, and I want healthier cells now than I did yesterday is my goal.
Absolutely. So to sum up everything that the Blue Zones has learned from its research, what would you say is the one most important element to adding more years to your life?
I would say understand these nine concepts and try to do a little bit in each of them to the extent you can. And some of us, may not have to do a whole lot with moving naturally, or we may not have to do a whole lot with our diet, but I'm sure that all of us could benefit from making some adjustments and changes in some of these Power Nine. And so understanding what they are and then how I might go about improving any of these, I think is a move in the right direction. And the bottom line is that you don't have to go 100% in any one of them, but a little movement in any of them can make a big difference, because they are synergistic. And so that's really encouraging.
It's really good news.
Yeah, it is good news. And so that's what I would leave our listeners with.
Where do you see your company focusing in the future? Right now, it certifies towns and cities that meet certain healthy lifestyle criteria, like towns that offer bike paths, or group activities that foster that sense of community. Can you talk about some of the upcoming Blue Zone projects?
Well, I think what you're going to see more and more, and this is already starting to happen, is that what you're going to see us partner more with the healthcare system. We talked about how it's, you know, really a sick care system based on reimbursement policies and things like that. But we envision a time where that's going to change. We think it has to. As a society, we can't afford the direction we've been going in. So we have to make some changes. And we know that there are many things that are happening to sort of change the risk allocation among populations that will cause health systems to want to keep their populations healthier. And that's a good thing. And so we see ourselves in the future kind of partnering, showing folks and partnering with people on how to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dr. Dexter Cherney, thank you so much for sharing these important lessons learned by the Blue Zones. It's so fascinating and so important for all of us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You know, there's a quote we've all heard a million times. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. If you want to live longer and healthier, it applies to our lives as well. Diets and exercise alone may not be the answer, but according to Blue Zone's data, the best way to add years to your life and life to your years is by building a Blue Zones lifestyle. You can find lots more information on the Blue Zones website at bluezones.com. While you're there, you can sign up for an email newsletter. Plus, you'll find a free 3-minute Blue Zones test that will give you customized recommendations on what you can do to live a longer, healthier life. In addition, and this is pretty cool, it will even give you an estimate of how many more years you can add to your life if you make the changes recommended. You can find that test at bluezones.com/live-longer-better. They also provide a meal planner and a true happiness test that can help you improve your environment to maximize your happiness. In addition to all those resources, if you're an HPE team member, the HPE Global Wellness Program also offers lots of great wellness information and programs for team members and their families. If you're in the U.S., you'll find those on myhperewards.com. And if you're outside the U.S., please visit the Global Wellness page. My thanks to Dr. Dexter Cherney, president of Blue Zones Wellbeing Institute, for sharing the secrets to a longer, happier life, something we all want. And as always, thank you for taking the time to listen. Until next time, take good care. Let's talk again soon. Mm-hmm.